Thanks a lot, Terry.
Good morning,
and I one of the things I would like to say is just how grateful we are to Terry. Terry was the one who came to me and asked me to begin to launch this process, and then we had a discussion. Well, actually, we discussed it with the NLT, and then Terry asked me to take the process. But it's been Terry pushing behind this that has given us the energy and the ability to pull this thing off to the point that we've come so far. So we're really grateful to you, Terry, for what you've done. Now, there's one other thing I want to say before Dave's going to come up and take us through the learning plan, but I'd just like to frame in a couple things for you. One is that we're taking a tremendous risk with this leader development process, in the sense that we're going wide. Almost every person we have talked to on leader development has said that in terms of the numbers of people that we have involved, that it's adding a level of complexity that usually is not in a leader development plan. Usually they start out very, very small, and they grow it and grow it to the degree that they need to. But we've decided consciously, intentionally, that we are going to go wider for a couple reasons. One, there's a tremendous feeling in the Navigator work right now that leader development is something that is very, very, very important. That's the first issue. And the second issue is there is a feeling that we have not provided a number of things for people on a broader scale. And so we've decided we're going to take that risk. And we've decided that we're going to develop the entity teams and right through the whole organization as intensely as we can. And I cannot tell you what a monumental task it is to do that. But we've decided, because we are servants and we are leaders that need to serve the broader community, that we're going to do it. But we really need your help with that. We desperately need your help and your cooperation to come in behind that, because we're going to be getting on the phone and we're going to be calling. And people, they forget very quickly about things, and it can be, as I said the other day, a real imposition in terms of the day-to-day stuff of the Navigators. And, you know, we're calling people a number of times. They don't understand, or they didn't quite hear what we said, something along that line, and it does get... it gets wearisome at times when we're not connecting, but we're going to stay with this thing. We're not. This is not going to be something that is going to be a a flash fire of some kind that sprung up and was reasonably good, and then one day we woke up and it was no more. That is not going to happen, and I cannot tell you the determination that Dave and I have to make this thing work along with the leadership working group. It is an incredible resolve. And we've made up our minds that we're going to do whatever we have to do to make it work. And as I said before, if it doesn't work one way, we'll do it another way. If the Bible study doesn't fit one direction, then we'll just write another Bible study. And if we start moving down the process, this learning plan that you're going to be introduced tonight to will be something that, if you look at it and it's not what you need, or if it's too cumbersome, or if there's a problem with it, we'll just rewrite it and just keep coming back and coming back until we get it the way it needs to be done, till it fits us. And that's the only thing. We can't promise you we're going to get it right every time. We can't promise you that every retreat will be a rip-roaring success. We can't promise you that every cluster group will meet your needs. We just can't promise you that. But what we can promise you is that no matter what, we will live with our failures, we'll admit our failures, and we'll come back and try to do it better the next time. And we already know that we have some processes involved that we're going to have to review, come back and look at them again, and try again. And I've gotten all kinds of feedback. I ask you for it, and I've gotten it. And that feedback is going to be very, very helpful. Some of it I didn't enjoy, but that's okay. We're going to stay with it, and this is going to be one process, I assure you, that we are going to do. And there's only one group of people that can stop this process, and that's us. In the sense of if we just don't want it, then we can lose it. But in terms of the resolve to make it happen, we'll be here in the spring, we'll be here in the fall, we'll be here in between, and we'll just keep right on going until finally this thing begins to take root and work. Now, what I've asked, you know, as I mentioned in our first meeting, when we launched into this process, we basically invited Dave Hawes to come in. In fact, we had a number of discussions, and we said, well, we need somebody like Dave, and if we can bring a guy in like this, why, he'll get a lot of development, he'll give us some input, help us along the way, and he can help us with a lot of the details of the project. And it wasn't long until Dave was in the first meeting, and he had put on the table basically the outline of faith convictions, character, calling, collaborative skills, and task skills. And I remember going home after our first meeting and thinking, wow, that guy's got some things figured out. And then we worked a couple more times, and I thought, boy, he's really done some work on this. And then finally God started to knit our hearts together. And by about last January, I was thinking, boy, this is a guy that I'd love to co-labor with. And so I started mentioning to Dave that we would really like him to consider coming to Colorado Springs. And it was a real struggle for Dave to pull him out of that ministry. And in fact, people have come to me and said, why in the world would you pull a man like Dave Hawes out of Tampa? And I've told them, well, mainly because we are so committed to this project that we will do just about anything that we have to do that the Lord will lead us in to pull it off. And so finally, the Lord led Dave and Jan to consider coming out in the spring. And then over the summer, we went to work on fundraising and a number of other things. And then in August, they arrived. And I cannot tell you the hours that this man has put into this time. Unbelievable amount of work. And he is so gifted and so capable. And it's really nice to have someone who's got the kind of intelligence that he's got in terms of being an architect, a designer, and he just has stuff that's going to really make this thing go. So I've asked Dave to come up and present the whole leader development plan, and then Dave Legg will come up right after that and explain the work that he's done. And then I'll show you what I've done in terms of my own learning plan, and then we'll have a little bit of discussion. Okay, Dave?
Well, I was doing fine on not being very nervous until Alan introduced me. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do. Thanks. Right. Right. What are you? How do you follow that? I don't want to look anybody in the face. So, well, tonight I'm here to show you some exciting tools, and hopefully that are going to help you turn some of the information that you've been given these last few days in particular into actions that's going to help you become a better leader. But first of all, you might have felt kind of like this. This is primitive leadership assessment. Let's see. You make fire, good. You make tools, good. You hunt mammoth, okay. Uh-oh. Your references are all baboons. Not good. So whenever you met with Shirley, you might have felt that. Well, learning is an action concept. Learning is not simply having a new insight or a new idea, but it occurs when we take effective action. And so tonight I'd like to describe for you the action learning plan. We see it as a natural consequence of the leadership assessment process, which brings together your design, your personal design, I should say, your past career roles, your desires, etc. So it's kind of like steps along this bottom track here. And hopefully, it links together with your calling, your career, your leadership development, and a number of things. This is not all-inclusive, this little illustration. But it's based in the sovereignty of God, and the conclusion is a lifetime of contribution that brings glory to God, ultimately. Hopefully what this assessment has done is to open your eyes to some of the possibilities of how you can learn and develop and grow specifically in certain areas of leadership. Now, according to this illustration, God sovereignly made us and He created us for good works. And He blessed His children with the privilege of being involved in building His kingdom. God does it, but He uses people. And the steps along the path might be more accurately shown as threads, because it stretches from the beginning of your life all the way through your life. So it's not just a stone or a step along the way, but it's a thread because it never really ends, especially in areas like Jerry was sharing on areas of character. Now certainly, as I said, not all the steps are listed in this diagram. And neither are all the steps represented in this illustration. But it does show, I wanted to show, that there are different layers of leadership development. We've just selected out some of the certain, what we're calling task skills or collaborative skills, to focus on in the leadership development process. The action learning plan, if you'll notice, is just one small phase that will be repeated many times in order to help you effectively grow as leaders. And that's why we've listed this over to, or shown this over on the side. It's just one small little slice of it. Now, I'd like to ask you to turn in your notebooks to section 6 in order to follow along as I describe the action learning plan. To begin with, I'd like for you to note the word draft. Okay? Big letters. It should be on all the pages. We're learners and we're desiring to grow. Alan and I, Alan has spoken that over and over. So this is an attempt to bring you to the position that we are in understanding what an action learning plan will be. It's an aid to help your growth. I'd like to give you an overview. Now, each sheet is in your notebook, but I'd like to show you how they work together. So, for example, we're not going to talk about the title page or the explanation. You already have that. We're going to begin with the Mapping Your Life Work Summary Worksheet. So, if you will, turn... Oh, thanks. Ta-da. How about that? So we're going to begin here. We'd like for you to turn to that page. And we'll go ahead. Now, you should probably recognize this information because you've worked through it in mapping your life and even prior to that, such as the Myers-Briggs type preferences. By the way, how many have already filled out this page? Anybody? Okay, good. No, this is a promo for it. But you should do it very quickly. Bill Mowry and Bob Lovern have designed that and worked through that. Some of you have been through the seminar and the workbook. And we would really like to encourage you to go through that. We think that it's very significant and useful, so much so that we wanted to add that to our part of our process. When you fill out the page, this page, we're not going to go through it step by step, but we'd like for you to be sure that you're putting in other notations other than, for example, just your ISFJ or ENTJ or whatever, such as specific definitions or notes that are unique to you that you've learned from the Myers-Briggs or the spiritual gift using the composite list or the primary roles test. These are worksheets that we're giving you. So it's a place for ideas as well as information. So use them that way. Under past career experiences, the key question here is what assignments we're fulfilling and why. Under the teamwork assessment, the key question is what kind of team do you need to be on to make your best contribution? And under the life, work, purpose, and vision statement, it describes how you're trusting God to use His unique design to contribute in your circle of influence or in your team. Now, you probably don't know exactly what this personal contribution profile is. That's in the mapping your life as well. This should picture how God has uniquely woven you together, all the elements of your design, for a special, a unique contribution. Okay, this information that you've accumulated through mapping your life work is the first phase of the personal assessment. The next phase is just a continuation that we've just entitled the leadership assessment. But it's really a continuation of the prior one, the prior page. Under personal character needs, the key question is what character areas do you struggle with and which ones do you never struggle with? Certainly, you're experiencing the information on the computerized leadership assessment, and what we'd like for you to do there is just list the key elements or the primary information pack that you have received from the printout as well as your personal interview with Shirley. Yes. Well, excuse me. Well, I personally, I'm not looking for a particular set. I think you can get information throughout. But it would be, for example, any time that you see a wide range of number, you know, you probably ought to note that that's, you know, like whenever Shirley was pointing out, big numbers are good, small number, you know, small number range is bad. Absolutely. Yeah. So you just go through the whole assessment using, I would say, primarily the things that she should have pointed out to you in your personal interview to begin listing on this form. Okay? Under interviews and issues, the key question here is what issues do you see as important to your developing as a leader? Now, you may be wondering why we've included in that little note up there, it says include wife. Now, I realize that some of you are single. Some of the ladies that are here have husbands instead of wives, certainly. But what we wanted to do is, you know, wives naturally talk to their husbands about these kinds of things. And the single folks would naturally talk to their close friends and confidants. But guys, many of us guys, we kind of are the first ones prone to forget to ask our wives for input. And so we wanted to make a special emphasis to get input from your wife. You need to get her ideas on all of these things that we're talking about here. Under future roles, the key question here, what are some possible future leadership roles you could see yourself in? And then we'd like for you to list the characteristics of that role that make you think that, boy, this is a great job. This would be a great job for me. So list the role and the key characteristics. Okay. Now, what we want you to do, the two sheets that we just went over, this one and this one, we want you to take these two sheets, lay them on your desk in front of you, and start praying over the information that you've just summarized. And you need to ask God, you know, what are the areas that the Lord would put on your heart to grow in? And then you just come over to this and you start listing the possible areas. It may be communications, it may be conflict resolution, a number of different areas. So you list all the possible areas that you could work on this sheet. And then you come back and you prioritize the list. And one of the things that a lot of we've gotten a lot of good feedback on, you probably ought to answer the question here, why should this be a priority area of training? Because, you know, you probably could come up with 10 or 15. Why should this be any different than the others? Okay. So, we take these two sheets, we pray over them, and we come up with our priority. And then you take the priority and you begin the first priority over here. You begin writing an action plan for each of the priorities. Now we've suggested that you would take the top three priorities to write an action plan on. And with that, you write specific objectives and skills that you want to learn, how you're going to learn them, who could possibly teach or mentor you in them, and how you're going to know when you've completed the skill or learned the skill and met your objective. Now, you should do one action plan for every area of learning. Okay? Now, the next sheet is a timeline. And it begs to ask the question, when do I get these things done in my busy schedule? Yay. Right? Well, that's what this worksheet is for, is to help you to plan out when you're going to get these things done. Remember, it's a worksheet. Also remember to pace yourself. We want you to plan out the next year of your learning. It's designed to help you sketch out a plan in the midst of your busy schedule. You know what your schedule is like, and this is supposed to help you come up with an overall year-long plan. The final sheet is called the Composite Action Learning Plan Timeline. And it's the copy that goes to your supervisor. It's a reminder for your supervisor, for you, for your developer, what and when to hold you accountable for your areas of learning. Notice that there's a place that says reviewed by your supervisor and reviewed by your developer. We'd like for you, for your benefit, to sign off and date each one of those. Now, one question is, well, how do you choose your developer? Well, let me give you a little bit, or what do we mean by developer and how do you choose them? Let me give you a few guidelines. I was talking with Dr. Clinton today, and he helped me with some of this, in fact. A developer recognizes the responsibility to see the learner develop over a period of time. And he helps you to see the next step. He helps you to see what's coming. And he helps you to resource the next step. He may be your mentor or he may not be. But he will evaluate. He'll give you feedback. He'll identify resources. And generally, he'll help ensure the learner is getting what he needs in terms of being developed as a leader. By the way, your developer could be your supervisor. Our recommendation is that you talk through the whole action learning plan with your supervisor and with your developer, basically because they need to understand what your logic trail is, where you want to go, and how you want to get there. Now, we've handed out a postcard to you on your desk along with a diskette. We're going to be showing you the diskette and how we're going to use that in just a few minutes. But we'd like for you to mail back to us the postcard when you've completed your action plan. And the purpose for it primarily is so that we can begin formulating cluster groups of guys who are working on the same area of learning. We figured that that's probably the best way, or the easiest way, to get everybody together on the same page and begin forming these groups, small groups. And please, whenever you fill out the postcard, please only include one cluster group topic, okay? So there's one line, so we don't like your hot priority item. Okay, what I'd like to do is summarize one more time. Basically, as you come to the action plan, you go to the Mapping Your Life Work summary sheet. You fill in the information. Most of you already have. You go through the leadership assessment worksheet. You place both of them on your table, pray over them, and come up with a list of priority learning areas. Then you write an action plan, action learning plan, for each of those areas. Finally, you use the timeline worksheet to begin sketching and seeing how it will fit. And then, under the composite timeline for accountability, you list the items you want to be held accountable for with your supervisor. In other words, down here, if you want your supervisor to check you up, that you've read a book, you need to put it on there in July to check me that I've read the book. And also, I'd like for you to note that at the back of that section, there are two appendices on learning styles and seasons of ministry. Paul Stanley really liked the learning styles, a little test that we provided for you, and the seasons of ministry just to help is a help to see where you are in your ministry lifetime. Well, discovery, evaluation. Excuse me, go ahead.
Are you moving on to the learning plan? Are we going to spend more time
with that? We are moving off of it. And this, well, one of the things that we also that I failed to mention is that I just skipped it in my notes. But the supervisor, each one ought to discuss with the supervisor who the developer ought to be. So there's interaction there on that. as well. So, yeah, I'd say the supervisor has a very significant role. Other questions? Can I take questions now? All right. I'm glad you said that. 2 weeks. You want to take a vote? Well, we would like for you to have a rough draft of your learning plan. See, if it goes into the holidays, what I'm trying to prevent is to keep it out of the holidays. If it goes into the holidays, I mean, you'll probably will have lost motivation and a lot of the impetus for, you know, completing this. So we want to keep it out of the holiday or prior to the holiday. Cedric. Well, a lot of the information you already have, or you should already have. The Mapping Your Life work will enhance it greatly. I would encourage you to get a copy of the workbook, and it will give you better definitions than I've given you. But it's not absolutely essential that you do Mapping Your Life before you do this particular action learning plan. It is important that you put together the information, though. Yeah. Yeah, I think you'll see that it's much broader than that. And for example, one of the things that Dave included in his is his passions. And that would be under the issues section under leadership assessment, which, you know, your passions, that's a big drive for a lot of folks. So, yeah, Dave and Alan both will give you examples. Other questions? If you will. Okay, can we hold? Go ahead. Well, you know, in developing a learning community, I think we're trying to take the first step in developing a learning community. And that means we've got a year focus. We've chosen that. We started with two. And the best helps that we've gotten feedback on, that's too long. We need to go one. And I know you're talking even beyond two, or I assume you're talking beyond two. But you just want to start and work it in that way and then take broader steps. That's right. Okay, last one, Nate. Alan, how much time did you spend?
I'm not sure, but I would say
And I can say that Alan reworked it and reworked it and reworked it because he was going to present it tonight. But
I still have a little work to do on it, but it's still not complete. Okay.
Just do the best you can. I mean, we're, you know, what are we going to do, huh? Well, you know, I'd rather move it that direction in order to get something in the middle than to move it the other direction and be next year getting stuff back. So that's part of it. Okay. Well, keep it out of the holidays. That's what I'm trying to say. Okay, just the last comment. We believe that if you folks actually use these plans, that God's going to help make you better leaders. And that's why we're here. We are going to describe that whenever we give Alan's presentation. That's coming up.
I'm just going to show you where I am in the process. I don't have all of my information on the new format because actually we just finished with some of the new format a couple of days ago. But let me just go back to what Terry said real quickly, because I don't know if you caught the significance of that. Those of you that are intuitive, you probably did. But it's really a significant comment or an idea, and it relates to your concept or your understanding of what we're doing here. And as Terry said, in the early stages of being around the navigators, when you had such a steep learning curve, the navigators took a lot of responsibility for your growth and development. And we all go through a period where that levels off, and now leadership development is designed to try to get the line going back up again. But at that point, we don't take responsibility for your leadership development anymore. You're responsible for it. And so you would have unrealistic expectations if you come to these retreats thinking that the retreats are going to develop you. The retreats are basically designed to provide you with experiences and exposures and ideas and resources of which you can take and plug into your learning plan. So that's really a significant comment, Terry. Let me pass these out, if you'd help me. The purpose of this is not for you to know my information. So I'm not going to take any time on that. But I do want to just try to give you an idea of the kind of information I think you'll need in order to do your learning plan. And also, I think this will answer a couple of questions about the mapping your life work. Let's see here. Has everybody got one of those? The first page, this first page I did in September of 1995. And this is a combination of information that came from the personal assessment when I went through that, And also the mapping your life work. One of the things that you leave the mapping your life work with is what we call a personal contribution profile. And it's very helpful, not just in terms of your development, but it's very helpful in terms of you being able to evaluate whether you're in a role that's a good role fit that matches your design. But if you notice there on the top where it says my basic design, that's information that comes from my MBTI. So I didn't even put what my MBTI up there is. Actually, those four letters aren't meaningful. What's meaningful, what's most meaningful, is what those letters mean. So that's a description of me based on my natural preferences. And then, of course, spiritual gifts and primary roles. You'll notice there is some correlation between spiritual gifts and primary roles. In my case, it's almost a direct correlation. That's often the case. How I function has to do with my modus operandi, so to speak. That's how I do what I do. And then what I do, my development needs. These development needs here were based solely on my design. So all of us have strengths and needs that come from our design. So those development needs there were a reflection of the weaknesses or the needs of my personal design. And then a couple of character needs. My accountability structure is primarily the NLT and the PRT, and I've yet to decide on my developer and coach. And so that page, or something similar to that, is one of the things that you should leave the mapping your life work with. And it's obvious as you look at that, that page is a little bit different from what you may have left the personal assessment with. You probably had some of those pieces, but what this does, it helps you take those pieces and organize them so it's meaningful to you. And then if you'll turn over to the second page, this is another major thing that comes out of the mapping your life work. This is what we call your life work purpose statement. You can read mine there, but it's not that's not the point. So I have my life work purpose statement there, and then in order to make it meaningful to me, I added this little section where it says, I will do this by. Just to have a statement of a goal or an objective is helpful in itself, but it was more helpful to me. It added value to it to add how I will do that. And how I will do that, those words you see in bold are directly related to my design. That's just who I am. And if I just, you plot me down somewhere, that's what I'm going to do. And then I also added this list of personal passions, or you could also call them just personal interest. That's something else that's important to me, because those are the kinds of things that affect your role fit and affect the amount of enjoyment that you may have from the job that you're in. So up until we got to this point now, where we came up with the personal learning plan, that was my information that I used, and it was very valuable information. In fact, it's very easy for me, if I was trying to decide whether I should do this job or whether I should do that job, if I just took my two pieces of paper there and put them on my desk and put a job description that I was considering next to it, in probably 5 or 10 minutes, I could tell you whether I should even consider it, apart from a direct intervention of God. So, then on the next page, here's my confidential information, Alan. Thank you very much. Let me try to explain just a little bit of this. Caesar, this speaks to your question. When I went into this, even before, well, the whole NLT did the voices thing, and we had our day in court with Shirley, and then I went home, and what I did is I just put mine up for about a month or so. I was busy anyway, and I just sort of wanted a break from it, and then I set aside a half a day just to try to analyze it and to draw out, three or four things from that. Now, I already had a couple of things in my mind that regardless of what voices told me was going to be on my learning plan, and they are. And one of those, that first one there was funding. That was one that I went into voices with, determined that that needed to be on my learning plan. It was interesting. That was my weakest rated competency. And there was total agreement between me, my supervisor, my peers, and my direct reports that that was my lowest area. So it's number one on my priority list. And what I did with this now, I came up with those, with these six areas that you see there. Some of them weren't quite worded like that. And then Terry and I met for about 2 hours or three. And I said, okay, here's where I am, and these are the areas, and this is what I'm thinking about in those areas, and this is why I'm thinking about that. What do you think? And Terry gave me a lot of good feedback on that, and then I went back and came up with what you see here. So this is really draft number two. And obviously, I haven't taken it the rest of the way. That's as far as I've gone. But Terry, for instance, this is one of the ways Terry helped me. I had funding there, but when I came over to notes, it was just a big blank. And Terry helped me understand that one of the things I need to do is I need to have an approach to my own personal funding that is motivating for me, has an element of fun, and allows me to use the gift of helps to really help people. And so I'm not sure exactly what that's going to look like. I have some initial ideas. But that's one of the ways Terry was able to help me with that. Margin and pace of life, Caesar, that was one that I went into the voices experience with, that regardless of what voices told me, that was going to be on my development plan because I know good and well that's a major need for me. And Terry also helped me with this. I even have some ideas about what I'm going to do, and in fact, I have already implemented these. But as you see in that notes section there, for instance, and I've already put this on my calendar. Now I need to work it out further on my development plan. But I went through my calendar for about a two and a half year period, and I plugged in at least a 2 week extended vacation. Now I've got 2 other weeks that I can take at some period of time. But for the last 20 years, only the longest vacation that I've taken has been 10 days, like most of you. And we pick up a day here and 2 days there when we go to this thing and we go to that thing. So that's one thing I'm going to do. And I've decided that when I do those, I'm not taking work with me. I'm not going to take work. I'm going to take stuff that I want to do. And then a couple of other things I did is I plugged in once a month. I want to have a 24-hour time alone with the Lord. And then 4 times a year, I plugged into my calendar a 4-day weekend for study, prayer, and reading and writing. And so far this year, I've had 2. I've got 2 more to go. I'll believe it when I see it. In fact, I'm sort of surprised that I've even made 2. Then under composure, Terry didn't think that composure was an accurate word, although that's the word that Voices uses, so, and I couldn't come up with a better one, so I'm using that one. But for me, and some of you may have that on your Voices thing as an area you might need to work on, basically, again, Terry helped me with this, that the way that comes out for me is I react to people, circumstances, and things. Other than that, I'm okay. But the people, circumstances, and things, I often react out of frustration and disappointment. Well, I saw that. Oh, God started speaking to me on that at the last leadership retreat from the book of Mark when we did that. Well, this time, as God often does, he made it clear to me from the study we did this time that he's not talking about the outward reactions, which, by the way, I'm pretty good at controlling. Now, some of my friends on the NLT will testify that occasionally, you know, I slip up and don't control them too well. But the ones that God wants to deal with for me are the ones in here. And they have to do with responding in, with gentleness and kindness in my heart when people disagree with me or have problems with me. That's a big task for me. I'm not sure how to do that. But that's what I've got to figure out now in the rest of the learning plan. I've got to say, okay, how am I going to do that? What am I going to do? That kind of thing. Shepherding and developing. This is the only area on here that I would say is a strength for me. Now, it's interesting. My team doesn't think so. But I think they're wrong. What I mean by that, people that have known me for a long period of time, I do shepherding and I do developing. But what voices help me see is I'm not doing it with my team. And so that's why that's on there. And there are some things I want to do with Terry. It's like a lot of other things. Those that are closest to us get sort of what's left over. But that's a strength I hope to develop. Motivating and inspiring, I could also call that one communication. This was another one that is a combination of a desire that I had to develop that I went into the Voices thing with, and Voices also spoke to. So that was a combination of both. But it's the idea that I was really motivated on this one recently when I read a study that the Air Force had done on the whole issue of leadership, and they were trying to answer two questions. One question is, are leaders made or born? Yeah, are leaders made or born? And the other one was, is there a set of quality or characteristics, qualities, that can be identified with most successful leaders? And their conclusion was leaders are primarily made, not born, and yes, there are a set of qualities that can be identified. And one of those is that leaders need to motivate and inspire people. And as I got to thinking about it in my own life, most of my communication with the people I'm closest with is centered around work, not around the word. And so that's one of the things I want to do. I want to try to change that, because it's hard to motivate people when most of your communication is centered around work. And then this whole idea of capacity, this is something I know that probably every one of you in the room are struggling with, because we've all got more to do than we can do, which is pretty obvious by those of you that said you don't even have 6 hours open in the next 2 weeks. But for me, I think I've identified that what this means is I need to get less involved in the operational aspects of my job or of people resources. I am too involved in the operational aspects of that. And that's related to a couple of things. That's related to our team structure, which we are starting to talk about, and the composition of that team. We may need one or two more people on that team. And so I need to move from being up to here in operational details to being more of an elder coach. So that's where I am. Like I say, I went into this with a couple of things that I had in mind that were going to be on my development plan, and then Voices helped me with the rest of them.
Now, I'm going to take you through mine, and I want you to know that this is a real... I'm going to commit you guys to secrecy as we move through this process. This is like, I don't know what you call it, but it's a pretty scary proposition, too. Okay. What'd you say? Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. I'll step down here, and... Dave is going to bring this up. Now, this is what you're going to receive in your disc. And that's what you'll see on your computer when it comes up. And you'll have, of course, as you think you've already seen, is the directions, and then we start moving into this. Now, if you look right here, the first thing is your MBTI. Now, because I had some discouraging things, I listed everything I liked in an ENTJ. So, there are some criticisms of ENTJs, but this I just said, okay, that's good enough. Then I move down to spiritual gifts, and this is just our gift analysis, and both in terms of my primary role, or primary roles, and in the area of spiritual gifts, the first one is ruling or leadership. And then if you notice, there's apostle, teacher, and then down here on the primary roles, run that up a little bit, Dave. Notice that up with the ENTJ and with the gifts, it's primarily fairly big picture stuff. And then notice down here on the primary role, same thing. It's a concrete designer, a visionary builder, and leader is primary. So that tells us a lot. Okay, now down here on the career experiences, I listed every one of the roles that I've had, and then I said, now the teacher role was very rewarding, and so was the University of Illinois and Illinois State Director and Canadian Director. Those roles were all incredibly fulfilling to me. The Commonwealth Block experience of leading in that role was a miserable experience. And then the Asian regional leader was a very good experience, but it was short term and it had some things that didn't allow me to think long term. And then, of course, the national field leader role that I'm in now. Now, let's go back up to the top of the page and work down the other side. And I came to the conclusion as I looked at that there are two components that make a job very rewarding for me. One is that I have the ability to develop a shared vision, and the other component is to develop a team, the team members in their ability to accomplish the shared vision. Those two things fit me. Now, if you look at this, first, this fits, that fits, and then you take the job roles and you look at the one role that was a miserable experience for me, and I didn't have a chance to develop either a shared vision or a team. Asia, being the Asia leader, was not an experience that I didn't enjoy, but it had some really, really difficult, frustrating things for me, and that was it didn't have a long-term vision to it. So you can see that those things blend together. So then I took a look at, well, how do I function on a team? And I said, well, I enjoy serving on a team that allows for a significant personal contribution. Any kind of a team that I can be on that I know I'm making a contribution to it, I feel really good about. But then the other thing that I enjoy is leading a team that can develop a shared vision and that I can have the privilege of watching the team develop and grow into that shared vision. So that's kind of the team mix. And then to put together the vision statement, I said the kind of role that I need to be in will allow me to maximize Spirit-led ministry opportunities by developing a team in accomplishing a shared vision. And that fits me. I feel good about it. And I would look at it and say, as Dave did, if I looked at a job and it didn't have those components, especially at this stage in my life, I'd really pray about it before I would consider that. Okay, let's go to the next page. Then I went to my character assessment. Now, I had to pull on down to look at the computer assessment before I could actually deal completely with this one, but I did put the statement in here. I stated, I am over-visioned and under-resourced. And what I meant by that is that I'm the type of person who develops a vision, but I also have a problem managing the details to the vision. And there are two solutions to that. Do less, or else get a better support system. And I have a feeling that it probably, in my case, involves both of those. So then I moved down here, took a look at this, and what you people that assessed me said to me is, in general, you said you're right on in calling and vision. You motivate. You engage in strategic planning. You think as a whole. You have very strong convictions, and you have a strong character. Then in the areas of development, though, you were saying to me that you have a problem with communication and listening, funding, shepherding, process management, and administration. Now, I had to ask myself as I looked at that, like Dave did, I had to ask myself, now, why would a thing like shepherding show up when that's one of the things that I enjoy the most? And I concluded, ah, wait a minute. I really have a problem with communication and listening. But in these other areas, funding, all of these things are things when you're over-visioned and you're under-resourced, problem is you don't get to those things. And so I thought, I've got a life management problem. Now, I also have a problem with communicating and listening. So I identified two areas in saying, number one, I've got to learn to communicate and listen better. And number two, I have to learn to manage my life better. Okay, let's go back up. So then I went to Becky, Terry, and Dave Hawes. Three people. I've also gone to some other people since then. And that's interesting. Like I told you the other day when I showed that to Becky, Becky said, well, Alan, we've been trying to tell you that for 30 years. So they all agreed with me that, yes, that was right on and that that did fit the reality of my life. Okay, let's go down. Becky's my wife, yeah. I appreciate you saying that. Then I didn't list these. I didn't feel I needed to be quite so vulnerable here, but I listed five areas that I listed five areas, Ray, that I felt I could feel very comfortable in. Now, what we did is we just kind of looked at the work and sat there and said, well, in terms of giftedness, and what might happen in the work, what might happen? And I listed five roles, and I said I'd be delighted to do any one of them, except one, in terms of it would be a little more difficult. Go ahead. I'm not telling. Okay. So now what I did, and Caesar, I think this fits with some of your thinking, I listed the two areas, listening and communication and life management, as things that were very, very evident. But then I went back and I looked at my potential future roles in the Navigators, what I might do, and I said, I really want to understand organization or organizations, but it should be organization, as social system and as organism. I believe that is extremely important for our work, and it's important for me. And then leader development is the thing that I'm involved in right now, and I want to continue to grow in that. Okay? So then what we did is we started... Something's missing there. I don't know what went wrong there. Yeah, sure is. I'll blame it on Dave, though. All right, I can pull it out and explain it.
Here's the last half right here. For some reason, it split it. So
I don't know what's happened there. But anyway, why don't we run lights up, and I'll just explain these other things very quickly. You see, I just lost my...
Alan, everything's on there, just it doesn't have a title. For some reason,
well, I'll just explain to you what we did, and I think that... that... It happens every time. Remember the last time? Well, Dave, you just... Well, for example, one of the things in listening and communication is what I did is I... last year, I was talking with Rick Wellock, who was here with the our systems thinking group. But he told me about a workbook and a book called Connecting. The fellow who has this or put this together lives in Denver. He's a believer. This has to do with in-depth communication skills. And so I thought, well, all right, what I'll do is I'll put together a Bible study on the area of communication and listening, and I'll pace myself through the year until the end of the year. And then in May, what I'll do is I'll launch, or in March, I'll launch into the book. And then after I do that, I'll just work my way through the workbook. It's not hard, but there's great information in here. And then in August or early September, I forget the exact date, I will sit down with Terry. First of all, I'll show Terry what I'm going to do. And then after I show him, then in at that point, why we will go through what I've learned. And then I'm also going to go to my direct reports and to my peers and ask them what they see about my ability to communicate, and then begin to work my way through it, and then at the end of the time, I'll ask them how I'm doing. So hopefully, there'll be some improvement there. Now, in the area of life management, what I'm going to do is there are two critical areas. One is the area of funding, and the other is just management of life in general. So I'm going to start out in that area first, because I feel that that is the most pressing need. So beginning in November, I'm going to take the book Margin and read the book Margin. And then in December, while I have a gap in time, I'm going to sit down and develop both a funding plan and a plan for doing much of what Dave is talking about in terms of developing a margin in my life. Then I'm going to bring that plan and give it to both Terry and to Scott Morton. And once I do that in January, then we will kick that plan in, and then when we arrive in August, what we'll do is we'll come back and have both Terry and Scott review that and see how much progress we've made in terms of life management. Now, I'm also working on the other two areas, but I'm not going to go into those tonight in terms of how I would approach those two areas. I do have those planned out in terms of what they'll look like. So that's kind of the process that would give you an idea. And I think, Caesar, it does open you up in a much broader way than just... in fact, for me, in the planning that I did, Shirley's stuff just merely confirmed what I already knew through the other stuff. In fact, everything on my whole process aligned itself all the way through, from top to bottom, beginning with ENTJ. If you go back and pull out the Myers-Briggs and read that in terms of weaknesses, that's what happens. So it's a real interesting thing. Uh-huh.
I just take one other comment I forgot to mention. A real important part on my paper under how I function is a statement about my learning style. And this is one of the reasons why it's important for you to identify your learning style, because you can come up with a great plan that is absolutely terrible for you,
right,
if you have the wrong learning style. And for instance, for me, I learned best by direct experience in an organized and systematic manner with subjects that have practical application. Now, I took Bobby Clinton's Change Dynamics course and the Leadership Emergence course, and it didn't do anything at all for me. It worked me to death for 3 weeks. I got all kinds of notebooks and notes. I read all kinds of books. It's not because of the course. Now, other people that I went to, some of you that went, it was significant for them.
Okay, just ran it through.
Change. The difference is, that's not how I learned. I don't know. I'm spending 3 weeks every waking moment reading the writing. I have to be able to reflect and think, and it has to be practical, and I have to see that when I finish this, I can take it and go use it to help somebody. So understanding your learning style is really important.
Dave picked this up. We're just running through it. We won't explain it, but just see what it looks like on the form. Just run it down through there, Dave. And now, you might want to stop there. See, I'm going to organization as social system and body, or as organism. I'm going to start with the body of Christ on that one, okay? Yeah. Okay, that's what I just described to you. Now, I've just identified three mentors there on the process, and it roughly 3 to 6 days of involvement. And we can double up on some of that through leader working group meetings, okay? And then this is the life management that I described for you. And this is just the timetable. And key checkpoints on the two that I've described for you. Okay? So, now, we don't know how you want to do that or what, Tom?
Question. Could you comment, Alan, on the priority list, the difference between are we majoring on strengthening weaknesses or capitalizing on our strengths?
I've got 2 strengths, 2 weaknesses listed. And I just happened to list the 2 weaknesses, but the other 2 are planned in. Now, we're recommending that you don't work on more than 3. And my guess is that if you work on 3, probably 2 strengths and a weakness. If you're working on 2, 1 and 1, that kind of thing. Okay? Yeah.
And so it's an experiential thing, learning experience rather than
textual. Actually,
a number of people may actually want to look for opportunities and experiences and responsibilities in ways of development with perhaps a information primarily driven approach to it.
Yeah. Well, the interesting thing is I went back like Dave did to figure out how do I learn. And I went through a very interesting process. And in this process, I would be what's called a physical-centered learner. What that means is that you learn by gathering data. And then as you gather data, you get about 3 or 4 reference points. And then as you get the reference points, then you begin to move, and it speeds up. It's a slow process in the beginning, and then it goes more and more rapidly. And that's a pretty rare learning style in the Western world. Asians have a lot of those styles, but not Westerners. And that has affected me all my life, because people would not allow me to gather the data early, and they demanded that I hurry and get it. So what I need in order to learn is a framework. I've got to build that framework and a model, and they do have some exercises in here to do just that kind of thing. So that's why I would go that way, but I wouldn't recommend it for everybody else.
I have 3 questions related to the first one is, y'all assume there's like millions of developers out there, and we'll all kind of pick one, and 90% of
Well, we listed the developers that we know of in the work. We have done that, but we decided not to post that list. So what we'll do is we will, if you want to interact with us on some of that, we'll point you in those directions. But we didn't feel like we should put that kind of burden on some people. And there were a number of reasons. We've got a book. Yeah. Sorry for interrupting you. We have a book from the Center of Creative Leadership that does a lot of that. It may not meet your needs. It may meet your needs. Sure. Call him night or day. Yeah, it would. And I guess the other thing that I would say is I would echo what Terry says, and that is that, look, it's up to you. You know, if you want to put one down, if you don't want to put anything down, that's up to you. You are the learner. So you decide how you want to approach this. We're not here to drive you to learning. We're here to expose you to the possibilities that you have, let you work with it, and then if you want to move with it, we're here to help you as much as we can. But those kinds of things would be a big, big help to keep it in balance. But we're going to call you if you tell us what you want to do. We're going to ask you how you're doing. But if you walk in, sit down, and say, look, just don't feel like I ought to be doing anything, that's up to you. Yes. See, one of the things you do want to keep in mind, like I mentioned the first night, is that when you come in and you sit down with all this information with your supervisor, he doesn't know what's on, or she doesn't know what's on the disc. But what they do know is how they assessed you. And they know what they think might be a need. So you'll end up in some kind of dialogue as to what might be helpful to you, and out of that will come something that hopefully will help you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that she doesn't have that yet. That will come, and we'll get that out to you, hopefully. I think we will, unless there's something that would indicate that we shouldn't do that, but I don't want to commit Shirley to something that I'm not sure we can do, but I think we will. Mm-hmm. Sure, you can. We can do that, I'm sure. But the other thing is, I just picked up the notebook, pulled out the information I had. I had no trouble at all just working right through. I had almost all the data already done. And I hadn't gone through Mapping Your Life seminar. What? Notebook, Dave?
Or just call extension 2331.
Okay, I think we're really tired, and it's very, very obvious that, you know, we don't, I'm sure you're going to have a lot of questions, but just remember, we're in the early stages of this, and we're not going to get it right the first time around anyway. So let's just all try together. And if we get to August and it's not working, we'll just revise it and do it differently. So my suggestion is let's just try. And all of this is a trial and error part on Dave's and my part, in the sense that could be too heavy, it could be not enough, all kinds of things could be there. So we'll just need your feedback.